listening to Glee on the Rocks.
Hello, and welcome to another Glee on the Rocks Patreon episode. This is part of our series, That's My Ship, even though this one's going to encompass more than just a ship. This is our 33rd Patreon episode, and I am joined by two very special guests that agreed to come flail about this movie with me, even though none of us really know each other that well. Sophia and Lisa, do you want to introduce yourselves a little bit? Like, how long you've been into the movies, when you got into them?
Sure. Do you want to go first, Lisa?
Sure. So I am old, and I got into the Scream movies pretty much when they came out. Now, I was underage when they came out, but it was kind of a big deal to go to the movie theater in my hometown and sneak in. So I did get to see them in the theater, but I probably shouldn't have been. And it's actually funny because these were the first horror movies that I had ever wanted to see in the theater, or at all, really, because I'm one of those chicken people who absolutely watched Hannibal and considered it totally possible that he could be hiding in my closet at any given time.
Oh, no.
So I went to see these in the theater, and I want to say that that's probably because, as my mom likes to point out, I was somewhat obsessed with Courtney Cox and had been since she was an Ace Ventura pet detective.
Oh my goodness.
So I went, and I was obsessed. And I was obsessed because the way that my brain kind of works is that if there's a ship that can be sailed and I see chemistry in it, I'm on that ship. We're going sailing. So... That's me and Scream, and that was Gale and Dewey.
Oh, I definitely feel that. I feel like I have a very similar intro to them. I didn't see the first one in the theater. I mean, I was 12 when it came out, but somehow I ended up seeing the second one, and just Courtney Cox just did it for me. And, you know, Dewey, Gale. And then I got obsessed with them as real people because I found out they were dating, and I'm a slut for the RPF. So that definitely helped.
Oh, it totally helped. Like, it totally helped. I want to sit here and be like, oh no, I never care about those things, but I like 8,000% care about these things. Like, if I get invested in the ship and you tell me that there's even like an inkling that the cast, like the people playing them, might be into each other, I'm like on it.
That's funny. So I am younger than you guys. I'm only 22, but I have been into horror for a long time. I actually probably way I was like 3 when I first started watching horror movies, like really got into it. My grandmother's like ultra super Italian American Catholic lady, but she like was like, sit down and watch these horror movies with me. So like always watching horror movies with her. I first saw Scream probably when I was like 7 or 8. I remember watching it. My dad coaches basketball, and I remember watching it with his players at a Christmas party. And I loved it. And I remember when Scream 4 was going to come out, I was like 12. And I was rewatching them. And then my parents told me, like, you guys, that Courtney Cox and David Arquette were married in real life. And I loved them. Like, I thought that was so cute. So I went and saw the fourth one, and literally, like, my whole town showed up. Like, it was crazy, like literally like Scream 2 vibes, like the opening, like it was so fun. And I became obsessed from that point, and like literally have waited this entire time, as like from a 12-year-old to now, for this new movie. And yeah, it was definitely worth it, I think.
That's amazing. Yeah. I was definitely like still really into them when the fourth one came out, but I feel like I was very like petulant about it because I knew that Courtney and David were having problems in their marriage. And I was like, I don't want to see them be unhappy.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that at all. Cause I was like a kid, you know? So I didn't read tabloids. Yeah. Like, I didn't know. And I saw the fourth one, and it definitely was like, oh, okay. And then I like saw it like a month later, what was going on. And I was like, oh damn, that's kind of
Bad vibes.
Yeah.
I felt very, like, ripped off because, like, it had been a decade since the last one. And, like, yeah. really, like, this is when yeah. you choose to make the new one, when their marriage is actually in trouble.
I know. I'm, like,
yeah, and when, like,
so sad.
He had been doing pretty badly with, yeah. like, mental health issues and addiction mm-hmm. issues. And it's kind of, like, I get to see them have bad vibes now on the yeah. screen. And I found it, like, almost distracting because I thought that, like, the writers used their bad vibes a little too much.
They did. And, like, I know Scream was, like, kind of all about the, like, art reflecting life aspect of it with their relationship, like, every step along the way. But I was in denial. So I think I only saw the fourth one in the theater, like, twice, which for me, you know, if we weren't in the middle of, like, an actual pandemic, I probably would have seen the new one, like, five times already.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because when this one started getting buzz, it was coming out, I was like, oh, I should rewatch all of them. And so I watched 1, 2, and 3, and then I was like, oh, yeah, 4. And so, like, I watched it again, and I was just like, these vibes still feel bad. And I couldn't figure out if it was just, like, I felt so bad the first time that I was never going to get over it, or if the vibes are really just, like, tense.
Yeah. It is pretty tense.
It's actually, like, Scream, yeah. Scream 2 is my favorite
yep.
of oh, the yeah. franchise.
Yep. 100%.
I'm like, 4 has, like, worked its way up. I mean, I like it better than 3.
Yeah.
It's so tough though because like I would love to see this detective-y,
yeah,
like Dewey and Gale thing that they had in 3 with like pretty much any other plot, maybe
yeah,
any other. Yeah. Cast. I don't even know. Like I was really nonplussed by. Like,
it is
I don't know,
really the sad.
Of 3.
Yeah, it's like Scooby-Doo. Yeah. The third one's like Scooby-Doo a little bit. It's like.
It really is, yeah.
We're doing and, like, the thing. We're going and hunting the guy.
It kills me that that's the movie we get the most Dewey and Gale screen time in.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Like,
even though, like, I will watch their parts. Like,
yeah,
they can go on a detective romp. I don't. Fine. Cool. but like that movie is just not very good.
Yeah. Aww. I'm like an apologist. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I love horror movies. So, like, even the worst horror movie to me is, like, oh, like, that was fun. Like, I laughed. So, like, I can, like, watch all of them. And I'm like, oh, like, I really like those, you know? Like, I love... 3 has its moments for me, for sure. And like you said, it's the most Gale Dewey screen time. So that's, like, really nice yeah. for me.
No, I'm not going to not watch it. Like, don't
no, no, I know, no. Yeah. And
I also love bad movies. Like,
no, yeah, that's like it's pretty fun. I also am a Gale's bangs apologist. Gale's bangs, they were not that bad.
I was going to say, like, I'm also shallow enough to admit that the bangs are part of why.
That's funny.
You know, it's like it's one of those things where it's like. Between the bangs and the honeymoon tans, like, they kind of look really fucking tacky, but, like, then it's kind of like, well, Gale's supposed to be a little
Gale tacky. Is tacky. Yeah. Yes, she is up, tacky.
Right? Yeah.
Like, part of her charm is the fact that, like, she's trying so hard and she wants to be this, like, big-time news reporter and really, like, a household name, and she just hasn't really gotten out of, you know, whatever trash background you want to give her.
Yeah.
Which in reading fic lately, one of my favorite things is how many backgrounds people give Gale. I want to read every single person's interpretation of how she got to where she is.
I don't really know, and I feel like I might have stolen yours, Mandy, but I was like, you know what? Trailer park from Florida.
I know. I love it. Yeah, I think it's good. I think that's definitely somewhere in the realm of like legit possibility of where she came from, for sure.
The highlights in Scream 1, like the
oh yeah,
the highlights just
yes.
screams south to me. But also, like, I was watching the Scream 3 with like director's commentary because I just, of course, rebought all of them. And they were talking about how Courtney was just so dedicated to making Gale just like trying so hard to be like classy but still like fucking tacky.
Yes.
And
yeah.
like all of the Bulgari jewelry she was wearing, and I was like, Florida. It's fucking Florida. It's old yes. lady jewelry. It's
yes, like that's how I see her
the
too.
The Florida
like,
vibes are strong, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. She's funny.
Do any of you guys have like family in Florida? Because like I do.
I don't,
but I have friends there and I visit often enough that I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't been enough besides to like, you know, cheesy family vacation, so I don't know that much about it, but like from seeing it online and people say, I can definitely think that. No offense to your family, like I don't want to stereotype, but
no, I mean like full offense to my family, it's fine. But it was just like some combination between like how tan she is from her honeymoon, uh-huh. like in her actual honeymoon, and yeah. Courtney's like, you know, we're gonna put on all the old lady jewelry. I was just like, no, there's like no there's no question that it's Florida. And like I don't know if it has to be necessarily even like a trailer park in Florida. It can just be Florida, but you know.
Yeah, the Florida vibes are mm-hmm. present. Yes. Like probably no matter what part of Florida you're actually in.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I
was tempted to write in her coming from Alabama because like that's where Courtney's actually from. Yep. But like
yeah.
Courtney Cox's family was also rich as fuck. So
yeah.
I feel like the actual background didn't really match.
No, and I mean, it definitely, like, she definitely comes from money.
Yeah.
And Alabama money makes me feel like I don't want to know about
it. I know about it. I know.
Alabama money.
Yeah.
So we just moved it to Florida.
Yeah, no.
It's like, it's a softer kind of tacky.
Yeah. She is so gorgeous in Scream 4, though.
Oh, my God.
That's like, because I rewatched that one most yes. recently, and I just spent the entire time staring at her.
Yes,
like,
she's so beautiful.
I feel like they did not succeed with the tacky nearly as much there.
No.
But I also want to be gorgeous. Like, listen, but it's like 11 years later, right?
What?
And so I feel like she grew up some. And she's been now in California, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Tacky has kind of changed, you know, and it manifests itself in really brightly colored,
mm-hmm.
like, Anchorwoman blazers.
Right? I was going to say, she was.
She's been, yeah, but, like, it's a different tacky, though. It's, like, Anchorwoman yeah. tacky, right? So it's, like, it's evolved. And it's not going to be as, like, trying so hard to hide the fact that she came from, you know, the swamp. Because she, you know, she spent mm. a big chunk of her life at that point not being there.
Mm.
And, you know, being like a best-selling author or whatever. And, you know, she had like an assistant. So I'm sure she had like more access to looking less like, you know, JCPenney.
I was yeah, going to say she wore.
Less trailer park.
She did wear that like full purple, like you said, blazer with the dress and the purple shoes. So that was like kind of like her little moment, I think, in 4. Like she wore like the full purple outfit or whatever it was.
I mean, yeah. I think like realistically, you're never going to be able to take. See, this is the thing about hometowns, right? Like you can
right.
say, I've not been there in forever, but you can't totally take it out of a person. Like there's always something that they fall back on. And like, look, she likes being bright and sparkly mm. and. You know, and
she likes walking
it.
Into a room and everyone is looking yes. at her.
And she doesn't, and that, the thing about her is that, like, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she doesn't care
part.
If it's negative attention.
Right. That's the best part
like,
about her.
So she'll like, walk in. There's like a deleted scene, I think, in 4, where, like, she rolls up and the cops are like, Gail, what are you doing here? And she's like, I'm here as a journalist. And she's absolutely wearing, like, a mauve blazer.
Yeah.
Like, she rolled up. To these kids that she's probably seen forever. And she's like, well, just treat me like I'm a journalist. And it's like, I don't know. I wish it wasn't deleted because it's really fucking perfect.
Yeah.
There's a lot in 4 that didn't need to be deleted.
I know. A lot
have
of
y'all
watched
the re-edited version?
Yes.
No.
I have the link to the Google Drive for it if you want to. Someone did a really fantastic job of putting a lot of the deleted stuff back in and then kind of tweaking other scenes so that it was a little less cheesy and a little more Scream humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I, you know, look, anything that makes it a little more fun because like, I, you know, yes, I kind of am still like a total sap and love their little ending where they say they love each other forever. But
yes,
the rest of it felt so stilted that anything that would make it feel more fun would be great.
I don't know if those deleted scenes make any more of the atmosphere between them feel better, but they definitely should have been left in the movie, like, overall, because it would have made it more, like you said, like a Scream movie. Like, it made it feel more, more like how the other ones felt, more so, I guess.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I go back and forth, like, whether I like 4 or 3 more, is because, like, there's so much about 4 that I actually do really like, but it feels less like a Scream movie.
Yeah.
Well, see, like, the problem for me is, like, Jill was a great ghost. Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, since I've been on Scream Twitter now for, like, 2 weeks, I've really come around to, like, no, Jill was really a good ghost face. Like, really good. And then I want to like the rest. And then I convince myself to watch it, and then I'm in pain. And then I, I DM one of you guys, and I'm like, why am I hurting again?
It hurts, for sure.
It does hurt. And I feel like, I don't know. I mean, one of the reasons, like, I immediately, because when my friends and I that I do the podcast with were talking about recording it, I was like, I want to talk about Scream. And I felt a little bad because both of them were like, trying to be like, yeah, we can do that. We'll make it work. And I was like, no, not with you two. I have two people that I want to talk to. Because I wanted the, like, community therapy feel for it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'm still in my denial phase.
I feel that, yeah.
I knew for a long time. Well, not that I, like, spoiled myself, but people have, on, you know, just in horror Twitter in general, have been talking about, oh, which one is someone has to go, which one's going to be the one to go. And I think I just knew, like, if they were going to kill anyone, it would have to be him. So I kind of prepared myself for it. I didn't expect what we got from that movie, like, to actually, it kind of, like, I thought it was going to be, like, another one of those cases where they were going to be like, oh, we're fighting again, and, like, we hate each other, but it really wasn't like that. So I really liked the way they did it. But it hurts really bad still when I think about it. Like, it's so sad.
I think for me it was, like, I didn't spoil myself. I just assumed that that's what was going to happen because I had read like several interviews where they said that so much of this is about, like, toxic fan culture and naming the Star Wars sequels. And I was just like, oh, my boy died in that one.
Yeah, they Han Solo'd him.
I better be ready.
I didn't even think about that until someone said it on Twitter, like, the day after, or not the day after it came out, but, like, someone I was DMing or whatever when my group chat said it. And I was like, oh, wow, like, I didn't even think about that, to be honest. Like, I definitely should have known.
Yeah, I think my tragic lot in movie life is basically, do I like a character? He gonna die.
Yeah.
I pick these, like, soft-hearted, like, himbos, and I'm like, they're the greatest. And it's like, of course they're gonna die. Like, that's just how it works.
Yeah.
And, like, so I knew it was coming, and I thought because I knew it was coming, it was going to be easier, and then it was really not easy, because I had thought that it was going to kind of be, like, at the tail end of the fact that, like, they weren't talking to each other, and she had left him, and I was just going to kind of be like, oh, man, that's so sad. But, like, it wasn't, which made it worse.
Really?
And so then I was sad, and then I did tear up, and then I'm like, I can't be crying like this at movies. Like, I'm in public.
I definitely cried, like, 4 times.
Yeah, I did not cry the first time I watched it. I completely went in unspoiled. I watched the very first trailer. But even being totally unspoiled, I knew from the general vibe of, like, the promo images that all of the pictures from the end scene were just Sydney and Gail.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Dewey only had one outfit in the whole movie. And I was like, oh, that's probably not good.
Yeah, for sure.
But I had no idea how it was going to happen. And I really liked the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that it wasn't Gale that left him this
Me
time.
Me too. Me too.
I just really hate that they only had one scene together.
Yeah, that's my biggest.
I think that if, I think give us one more if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. That scene, though, between them was very sweet. And I think that Courtney and David acted extremely, like, just the chemistry was still there. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like Four where it was like, Wakanda on the outs here. It was more like, okay, we're friends now. And, like, we, you know, do our thing. And, like, we know that, like, you know, this is something that's between us and history. Like, our characters are here now. And we are there too, I guess. I don't know how to explain it. But, yeah, no, it's just, like, you could feel the respect between them. And it was really nice.
I mean, they acted the fuck out of it. Especially David.
I think they wanted to be around each other for this. For sure. In a way that they probably don't get to do. Yeah. You know? And, it's like, if they were going to do it, they did a great job, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't like it. And it definitely had the parallels back to Scream 2 and how it happened. And, you know, he's kind of the surprise end of Scream 2 that he's actually still alive, right? Like, she thinks he's dead at the end of Scream 2. So, like, you know, it didn't bother me, like, storyline-wise. It didn't bother me how they did it. It just bothered me that it happened.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he loves Scream so much. David does.
I agree.
Yeah.
And that makes me, it just makes me kind of sad, just in general.
Yeah, I absolutely, like, would be probably, like, 25% less sad if not for having an awareness of how much David Arquette loves this franchise.
I mean, I know.
Literally, I've said this to, like, three people in DMs lately, but they literally named their daughter after their characters in the movie. Like,
aww. That's
like,
so sweet.
Her middle name is Riley.
That's so sweet.
So that isn't a level of attachment to character.
Yeah. I did read
that. I don't know. Like, they're such a sweet trope, kind of, like, as characters. And I think also a little bit as, like, real people, they were really kind of sweet because it's, you know, it's kind of, like, very opposite people, you know, met and just chance fell in love. And, you know, if that isn't the sweetest shit in the world, I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, I think that it also reflects a time for David before things got really hard for him.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I have not watched the documentary about him yet. But
oh, my goodness.
Go ahead and do it soon.
Let me just say, it's really good. It's really, really good. I watched it when it first came out. And, like, it is so sentimental and so, like, he just wants to, like, prove himself in that community because it's, like, a community of that he really respects and loves. And, like, for years, people would, like, get on his ass, like, oh, he ruined WCW, which is, like, that wrestling franchise or whatever. And he really proved himself and, like, did the thing and, like, wrestled his ass off and, like, almost died at one point. Like, he's so respectable as a person. Like, I really do love him. And, like you said, he loves Scream, like, so much. Like, he literally cries when people bring up Wes Craven because he loves him so much. Like, he just is really, like, the sweetest person, I feel like, in the world. Like, whenever I see his, like, post, I'm like, oh, he's so nice.
Yeah.
Well, like, I really, so, you know, in my regular life, I do a lot of work with people who have very severe mental illness. And, like, I have, like, such a soft spot for people who are obviously struggling with whatever demons they're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, really want this, like, redemption story. Whether or not other people think that they should pursue said redemption story, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I want to watch this documentary. My friend, who's really into wrestling, told me that I would love the documentary. And then she kind of told me, like, how he almost died. And I was like, that's so freaking bizarre. Like,
yeah, he did, like, a death match, and, like, he took it real legit, and, like, it was crazy. Like, I remember the night that it happened, because, like, of course I've been on fucking Twitter forever with seeing his stuff, and the night that it happened, and the picture of him literally covered in blood holding his neck because he got his neck cut open by glass from, like, a big light bulb that someone smashed on him. just covered in, it was like a movie. I was like, what? Yeah, that's who it was. It was against Nick Gage. It was a death match.
Yeah, I was like, my friend was like, yeah, you should totally watch this. You'd like it because it's a redemption story. She's like, but, you know, fair warning, he does almost die. And I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, what do you mean he almost dies? And she kind of explained that it was like this planned stunt that went very wrong. And he almost like bled out.
Oh. Yep, it was crazy.
But I'm going to watch it.
It was really good. It should have got nominated for an Oscar. If I'm not, I'm probably being biased, but like as far as documentaries go, it was really good. Like I don't know why it didn't. It got a lot of like critical acclaim, so it was. I think it should have got nominated.
Yeah, I think it was because of COVID that it was supposed to go to Sundance.
Yeah.
And then it didn't, and they had to release it, you know, off the Sundance trail, and so I think that probably cut some of its.
Yeah, chances.
But yeah, I'm gonna watch it. I'll probably let you guys know when I'm gonna watch it.
Oh, Courtney's in it, by the way.
Yeah,
What's that?
Courtney's in it, by the way. She's in it for like two scenes. They talk to her.
Oh, yeah, that was really the selling point. Like my friend was telling me all about what happens, and I'm like, I love a redemption story. Mm-hmm. I love a like prove yourself. I love a like guy who's trying to make it. You know, good after going through a lot of mental health issues, all that stuff. So, like, I was already like semi on board. She's like, "Well, also Courtney's in it and talks," you know. And I was like, "Oh,
sold."
Okay, yeah,
because I was like, "How are they going to do David Arquette's life without talking about Courtney?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "Don't you worry, friend."
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah, I definitely haven't followed David's career nearly the same way I have Courtney's. Like I will watch anything and everything with her in it.
Well, partly because he doesn't really have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
I never followed him. I like him, but the only thing that I could tell you that he's in specifically besides the Scream franchise stuff is like he was in the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the one with like the crazy like anti-vax Trumper.
Oh, Buffy.
He was one of the vampires. Like, that's what I can tell you.
I think I knew that because my roommate is obsessed with Buffy, but I absolutely forgot that. I'm going to have to rewatch that now just for the baby David.
You know what? I'm probably the only person who exists, but I really love that Buffy. I know it's, like, kind of trashy, but I loved it. And it had, like, Hilary Swank in it and, like, Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Which I forgot, which is like, it's funny because I forgot that David and Luke knew each other when Luke passed away. And David
they were
upset.
Like,
I was
they
like,
were
how
like
do
best...
they even know each other? But like, it's Buffy.
They were best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that when I was, doing my obsessive 2 a.m. deep diving in David's social media that I've been doing all week long.
I'm sorry. I apologize. That's because I was like, I saw all of Courtney's posts.
Yeah, I wasn't following David before any of that. And then she mentioned that he likes all of Courtney's posts. And I've been spiraling.
Welcome to my madness.
You're funny.
I feel like I am in the process of like developing the fandom crush on David Arquette right now.
Yes.
So I'm getting there. Fast.
I love him.
It
I
takes
really do.
So little for me. Like,
yeah.
If I see someone on screen and they have like actual chemistry with their co-star, I'm like heart-eyed. But then all it takes is just so little if there's personal drama, and I'm like, tell me more. Tell me more right now. Because like, I don't want to be one of those celebrity obsessed peoples, but yet,
right?
Here we are.
Sometimes you can't
help it.
A
little bit am.
Yeah. Like, sometimes it just grabs you. I cannot relate to the type of people who can have casual interests and not be like, oh, this is my life now for the foreseeable future.
Right.
Well, I have ADHD, so I know nothing but a good hyperfixation.
Yep. Very nice. And I'm writing it too. Like, fandoms and writing are always a very, like, intertwined thing for me. Like, I don't write for everything I like, but... Mm. At some point last year, I guess when I was watching the watching them in preparation for seeing the 25th anniversary in the theater, I just kind of jumped in and started writing Dewey Gale. Actually, I wrote some Sydney Gale too, and I really enjoyed that.
Love that.
I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah. Well, it was very like pseudo poly type of vibes, but nothing sexual between Dewey and Sydney.
No, that's weird. I am opposed to that.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
That's a no from me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I'm not a great multi-shipper. It's one of those things that, like, I wish I could be. Like, I really do. I really do. I even have a hard time, like, being like, well, their first love is dead, so now they can move on. My brain is like, nah, I'm not in that realm. But, you know, I'm not opposed.
I mean, for this fandom, my brain is like, well, their first love is dead, so let's make him undead.
Right.
So now, like, right? Like, where I'm just like, okay, yeah. So I don't like that he's dead, so I'm just going to make that not be.
So this right. didn't happen.
Exactly.
And we're proceeding.
So what if, yeah.
Yeah, I had, actually, I wrote the Sydney Gale as a challenge fill for something. I was looking for Scream prompts, and there weren't any Dewey Gale, and then I was very sad.
Of course.
And then one of my friends was like, why are you writing straight things anyway? And I was like, sometimes we all have indulgences.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, like, it's actually Sophia's post, right? Like, her Twitter post is on every social media.
Yes.
Yes!
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I keep putting you off. Go ahead.
Just saying, I'm just, like, watching all these people be, like, tragic sad about Dewey dying and, like, super, like, I love them so much about Dewey Gale. And I'm like, where are all of y'all?
Literally. And it's been forever. Like, and the fact that it got, like, 30,000 likes as a screenshot on TikTok. And then it was on Reddit. And then it went viral, like, semi-viral on Twitter. And I'm like, I've waited years for people to acknowledge their, like, horror ship greatness. Like, years for it. And still no one is like, it's just you guys. And I have one other friend who's, like, I've known since I was little, who loves them too. And that's, like, it. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, where, like, they are so perfect. Like, why would no one, like, it's so sad to me.
It's so crazy to me. Like, look, I've been in fandom since I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written fic since I was also very young. And, you know, I always assume that, like, the ones that I pick out are what everyone picks out.
Right.
Because I'm the tragic queer who's like, I like the het ships. Because I do. And then I make one bi every time. And so, like, I just thought there would be more of it. Because the last time I was like, I'm going to do a fic search for an old ship that I like from the 90s. I found, like, at least, you know, 30 or 40. And this was, like, a very bizarre ship. And this one, I was like, there's nothing here. And if I write, there's, like, four people who are going to read it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but I'm going to do it anyway.
No, yeah. Because you got to think of them. Someone, you know, might come along a few years from now and they might, you know, want to read some stuff and we'll have contributed to it. So that makes me happy, you know, because it's I can't believe how few people actually, like, write stuff or make fan stuff for them.
The whole Scream, like, fandom in terms of fanfic, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a whole lot of Stew and Billy.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
And normally, look, I don't have a... I mean, like, they were absolutely, like, gay-coded, right? So, like, go ahead, live your wildest dreams, but I'm also not somebody who's like, I really want to write about serial killers. I want to know what their inner thoughts were before they murdered people. So it wasn't really, like, appealing to me, and it's, like, digging through that. And I also really do not understand, like, reader fix, you know?
There's
at all.
Those. Like, the green tag on Tumblr, I keep looking because I want to see the pretty moving pictures of Gale. but the tag is just full of, like, reader stuff for mostly Billy and Stu, but also some for, like, Dewey, too.
Yeah, which are really, like, horribly, like... I don't know, out of character, because
he's
obviously not going to be particularly domineering in bed. Sorry, just going to say so.
No, I saw those two, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no, this is not somebody who's going to say these things unless specifically asked to.
Exactly. Yeah,
unless given the script.
Yeah.
Probably by his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, he's going to do what she wants. And like, look, again.
Yeah.
There's a reason I like this fic. Right. Know, it's a reason I like this shit.
They just are so great. Like, there's no other words to say. Like, the chemistry between them and all the, well, besides four, I know, but in the first 3 years, they're just so cute. Like, I could watch Scream over and over again just because of, like, their first interactions are just so sweet. Like, between, like, him with the you're prettier in person or whatever, and, like, her little flirty smile, like, aw, they're just so cute.
I still think it's like Scream 2 when he comes back and he's like, and one more thing. And he streaks. I was like, yeah.
She's like, why would he say that?
Yeah.
I know. She was so shocked. Like,
angry. She's angry, but he's a little horny too. Come on.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. He's just like, I love her. She's, crap, you know? And, you know, it's like, who doesn't want a character in a ship looking at the other with stars in their eyes, you know?
Right.
Also, and this is a phrase that crosses my mind like once a day now at least, but since I saw the double fisting the titty sweet
I was just gonna say, did you guys see that?
Yes. That's the epitome of Dewey in that movie.
Like, I know.
It's not just him in that movie. It's just his brain. It's like,
literally.
This is his brain.
He literally had both hands. It's so funny. And it's David,
it's
too.
Like half very, yeah. It's like half very Dewey and half, like, was David just really embracing the opportunity there?
Exactly.
I mean, that's definitely, that's life imitating art imitating life. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. I feel like that was not a, like, production direction.
Oh, no, not at all. Can you imagine Wes Craven being like, now put your hand. Like,
he's the fucking day.
Yeah.
Seize the day, double fist the titties.
And I love that scene, I mean, like, that shot afterward where, you know, of course he has her hand still on her boob and she's like, why? Like, it got serious, Dewey. Please stop.
But at the same time, though, like, I'm fixated on the fact that she has wrecked lipstick all over her face.
Yeah.
She does.
They went in hard on it.
They did. Like, and it's the fact that they were trying.
I'm never getting over. All I was saying was I'm never getting over the wrecked lipstick. Like,
yeah, no.
Ever.
I want the bloopers for that. Like, if there was one scene in this entire franchise I could get the unedited footage for, it would be that one. For transparent, obvious, and shallow reasons.
Right?
I don't know if it's shallow.
She's, I don't know, shallow if in the sense that they're just so pretty when they're making out like that.
And, like, no, I would watch it. We all, like,
yeah.
I would watch, like, clips of it on, like, a Tumblr, like, display. Like, who am I talking about? I'd probably save it to my phone. But, yeah, no, I don't know. It's been, like, a kind of fun, like, couple of weeks. Because I was, like, on fandom Twitter already for another ship that is totally, like, underrated and overlooked. But I was, like, that ship is pretty quiet now because they're not going to have a new movie until, like, 2023. And I was like, there's got to be people for Scream, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then, yes, the answer was yes. So.
Yeah, the fandom is very interesting, for sure. And it's been crazy leading up to it, I think. Like, the past few months have just been, like, insane. Like, ever since the movie got announced, actually, people were doing, like, countdowns and stuff. And I just told my friend, like, I feel like I'm in, like, a loophole because I literally feel like I saw Halloween, the new one, like, 2 days ago. And now I've seen Scream 4 times. And, like, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I can't believe it because I literally remember the day, like, they announced the movie. Like, I remember when they announced Courtney signed on. I had an aneurysm. Like, that was crazy. Like,
and now well, I remember it, that day too because I didn't think that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because like in my head, you know, those vibes from Scream 4 just like imprinted on me where I'm like, they're never going to be in a room together again. And then I was like, that's stupid. They have a child. And when they said that they were both going to do the new Scream movie, I was like, you better not be like 4. But then I was like, I'll still watch it even.
Yeah. I will only watch it half a dozen times if you disappoint me, as opposed to the full dozen.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, listen, I won't buy this movie. But, you know, haha, joke's on me.
I have a funny story about when Courtney, when she signed on to the movie, it was a day that I was actually moving out of my college apartment. And I was cleaning, you know, like deep cleaning and everything. And I had I was mopping the floors, was the last thing I was doing. And I dropped my phone in mop water. So my phone completely broke, like had no phone. I had to drive home. My college is an hour away from where I live. So I have no phone this whole time. I'm like super frustrated, like so mad. Like, I can't believe I dropped my phone in fucking mop water. And I get home. And I go on Twitter, of course, it's the first thing I do, not like call Comcast or whatever. And I see a million tweets in my mentions. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? And it was, she had signed on for the movie. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, I can't even be mad about my phone right now because I'm about to jump out the window because I'm so excited. Like, it was so crazy. I was so happy.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I was purposefully not caring about the new one until I saw that she signed on.
Mm-hmm.
Not caring. Like, I would have, like, gone to see it no matter what.
Yeah.
But I was not going to get my hopes up because I really didn't think that caring, would happen either.
There's caring and there's, like, my family caring, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once I saw David was going to do it, I was like, well, they can't just have David. Like, they're definitely talking to the other two, like... Yeah, there was no way. Yeah. I knew something was...
Well, he would be the first one because he's not going to hold out. They're like, you want to do this? And he's like, yes, let me have the contract. I will
Oh,
it.
Yeah, okay. For
I mean,
sure.
He was probably the one picking up the phone. Oh, he was like, hey, I heard y'all are doing a new movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He just shows up on someone's doorstep and he's just like, so...
I've started growing the mustache.
Yeah. That's funny.
I don't know. It's funny because like some of the interviews that they did, like the three of them together was like, they were like super cute. They were super cute. Mm-hmm. And watching some of Twitter be like, oh my God, these are so awkward. I'm like, this is actually so much better than the press for 4.
Yeah.
Well, I also think a lot of people read them as awkward, not realizing that that's kind of just how Courtney Cox is. Like, she's not a super giggly, loud, outgoing person.
No, she was, like, equally as stilted on the Friends reunion. And she loved being on that show.
She's just very, like, calm and chill.
Yeah.
Of course, I was always, like, hyper honed in to how often she would, like, turn and look at David or talk to David or, like, answer questions, like, with him or for him. And I'm like, I thought it was adorable.
Yeah, I also did.
Their energy is just very different, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, he's like, manic, right? So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think he probably always was to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Again, it's like, it's a very sweet story and it's, you know, sad that they couldn't make it work, but it's got to be really hard to make that work. So.
For sure. No, I thought those interviews were really sweet.
But it's sweet.
I thought they were like the same sort of vibe that they always kind of had, was just like, he was super giggly, like as people, individual people, he was super giggly, like he always is.
Yeah.
And she was just how Courtney always is, like she was just, you know, doing her thing.
Well, like some of the interviews, she like Courtney will lean over Nev and answer a question for David, and I'm just sort of like,
oh,
it's adorable. I don't know if I'd like if someone did that to me, but it's adorable.
I have that like instinctive. I feel like sometimes when I'm watching them, I just become a teenager again.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember, like, how excited every bit of, like, because I was really into following the press for, like, Scream 3. Because they just got married. That was, like, the height of, you know, happiness as a fan following them. Mm-hmm. And it's very nice when I watch like modern interviews and I get like little slivers of that feeling.
Aww. Yeah, no, I mean, like, there fandom for me was always about like getting way too sweaty watching very normal things, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching these people do press. Like, so in 2017, I went to go see David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson at New York Comic Con.
Oh.
And I walked into the room and like overheated. Like, just standing there. Just standing there watching them look at each other. And I was like, I'm dying, I think.
I think.
And so, like, I mean, like, I made it through, yeah, but like, I was very sweaty. And so it's just like, I will watch interviews, you know, press, whatever. Even knowing, like, even with them, they had their own troubles and whatever fake couple land. I will watch it and I will just like sweat buckets and I'll like shush people and be like, I have to see this. It's very important to my brain. And it's just like the little teenager in me is squealing inside and you know, I guess apparently making my sweat glands explode.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
One of those things that I wish I could convey to like teenagers in fandom who think you grow out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, some things are fun to not grow out of. Like,
oh, gosh.
Well, it's like, you know,
life and shit are hard sometimes. If I can like squeeze some joy from watching 17 interviews of two actors I like on YouTube, I am going to fucking do it.
Right.
But like, the other thing is, it's like, especially on Twitter where people are like trying to like own the olds by being like, don't you have real responsibilities? Well, like, yeah, of course we do. So let us have fandom when we want to have fandom. Yeah. You know?
Also, having adult money to buy things is nice.
We fixed paying for this shit at cons.
Yeah.
Not you guys.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting here like, I want to be like you. What the fuck? Like, I'm like, just.
It is very fun to get to buy the merch this time. I'm like rocking my like two Gale Weather shirts and ordering prints for my walls.
I just all have the same pin shirt that I sent you guys the link for.
Oh, nice.
It's cute. Do we all have
like
that same
Woodsboro murder pin?
And a glue in the dark. I love that. Love that.
Yeah. But we all have that Super Yaki shirt.
Yes. Yes. That it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wore it to when I saw it on opening day, and I was very sad that, like, nobody gave a shit. Like, the excitement for the movie just wasn't super there for the people I was in the theater with.
Wow.
Well, so I'm in the middle of, like, COVID surge New York, I guess the end of COVID surge New York, and I just wasn't sure how I felt about sitting in a theater. So we went. I think I told you both this, but we went to a drive-in movie.
Oh,
and
yeah?
It was like snowing in a drive-in watching Scream on along like, the waterfront. And it was like the atmosphere was amazing.
That's
and
so
a little
cool.
Scary. Definitely afraid to go to the bathroom. and I was like wearing my Scream shirt, but it was a blizzard in a car, so it was definitely underneath like my coat and like another thing.
Yeah, it definitely
I'm in Mississippi, so it's warm here most of the time. So I did get to like stroll up in there with just my t-shirt on, but yeah.
I wore my sweatshirt.
I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to see it because I just would hate to get COVID from a movie theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd get it from my job like everyone else. So the drive-in thing that like kind of popped into my radar, I was like, well, at least I'll get to see it. And so I think that the truth is like, I missed probably parts of it just by being in a car as opposed to a theater. So I'm kind of hoping that I get to go see it maybe in a theater sooner or later.
Yeah. The first time I saw it opening night, and I paid a stupid amount of money to see it in, like, the nice theater with the, like, spread out seats. Now I'm just trying to see it at, like, really off times, so I'm not packed in with other people.
Yeah, I keep thinking about doing that, too. Like, I have a couple of days at work where I'm done pretty early, and then I'm just like, well, maybe I'll just go to the theater and I'll be the only one in this theater. And then, you know, there's some interview where Courtney talks about how Scream has impacted her because she's afraid of stuff. And I'm like, yep, I will sit alone in this theater and I will be convinced that someone's going to stab me. And I will not be able to shake that feeling the entire time. It'll be great.
Last time I saw it, I was meeting a friend to see the Betty White special. So that was a really funny back-to-back experience because I just showed up a couple of hours early and saw Scream first. So I like went directly from that to like Betty White. And I was like, okay, well, it's a day of like mourning dead people I really care about.
Aww.
It's been a weird week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My theater was packed. I think there wasn't a seat left. And there was every person from every walk of life there, children, teenagers,
that's so cool.
My age, like older.
I would have loved that kind of experience.
It was, I don't know why, but my town, like it always, every time there's a horror movie that comes out, like it's packed. Like, I don't know why, but it's always packed. So it was a good time. It was definitely, people were cackling and stuff. Like, it was fun.
My usual theater is pretty fun that I go to. And like the last movie I saw in the theater was Spider-Man back when, you know, we thought COVID was over here in New York. Yeah. And, you know, shit happened.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to enjoy that as much as I had hoped. But I would go back to this drive-in again. I would actually go back to this drive-in to see a horror movie again just so I could be like adequately scared.
I'm surprised.
Especially they were, like, that would be really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, they were open in the winter time. Like, that's so crazy.
It's like, gotta be snowing. COVID related, right?
Like, right.
Yeah.
Right, but that's crazy. That probably was so fun. Like,
they were showing like a kids' movie at the other part of the drive, like the other end of the drive-in.
That's cute. That's really cute.
When I saw it last week, there was like one family in the theater beside me because it was at like 3 p.m. on a Monday. But there were like 2 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, I really hope these kids aren't gonna like freak out, but they were very into it. So yeah, parents for knowing what their kids like.
Yeah, that was me as a kid. Like, I was into it. Like, I made my grandparents take me and my friend to see Scream 4. My grandparents, and like they were older. Like, I was like, hey, will you take me to go, and not even in my hometown theater, it was playing at the Dollar Movie, which plays like movies that came out like months before. And I was like, hey, will you take me like 20 minutes away to go see this scary movie? And they were like, sure. And we went. Like, it was so fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw Scream 2 because like, I would just have my parents drop me off at the movie theater and buy like the cheapest matinee ticket and then just stay in the theater and go from movie to movie to movie.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Like, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's how I saw it the first time.
That's so cool.
At like 13, you know, so old enough that it didn't scare me that much, but I did instantly become obsessed.
Yeah. I was 16. I think 15 or 16 for Scream 2. Like, I was definitely a little young for Scream 1. And I know I saw Scream 2 in the theater, I want to say, like, 3 times.
Aww.
And I know that on the 3rd time, my mom was like, what movie are you seeing? There's not a lot of movies showing here. And I was just like, I'm good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I ended up buying it on VHS. And, like, this is something occasionally I'm, like, tempted to ask this girl about, but... So I rode the school bus, and I live in a rural area in Mississippi, so we had like an hour and a half each way ride, and there was a girl who was a few years younger than me. So if I was 13, she was maybe like 9 or 10, and she wanted to like hang out and play and stuff on the bus because she was bored, and we had the longest ride. So I would hand copy down the script, like lines, and then show up on the school bus and be like, we're just going to play act this. So,
oh my goodness,
this like 10-year-old who like wouldn't even say the curse words, like running Scream lines, Scream 2 lines with me.
That is so cute. I would have been definitely.
Yeah.
She was bossy though. She always took the best lines. I had to be Dewey so she could be Gale, and like I had to be Dewey so she could be Randy.
Well, I mean,
But I was just like, you're indulging this obsession. That's
yes,
fine.
We gotta let it go, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yes, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I would still pick Dewey over Randy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the hate that Randy has gotten in, like, the past year.
You know, it's weird, though. It's like, Randy's a very particularized type of kind of, like, 90s guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I had friends that were probably, like, Randy's, you know? And I thought that it was, like, a very accurate character, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, in terms of people being like, Randy's cute, I'm like, oh, no. because he'd be the worst. He'd be, like, the literal worst boyfriend in the world.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he would be sitting there correcting you for everything.
Right.
If you said you'd like something and you got, like, a line wrong, Randy would be the one ruining your damn life about it.
And you know what's funny? And in Scream 2, he corrects Cece Cooper for saying a line wrong from Aliens, and he gets the line wrong. He's the one that's wrong. It is not stay away. Yeah, it's not what he says. She was right. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, that's why you don't mansplain scary movies to women who know what they're talking about, Randy.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's just like I said, he's a very particular type of guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, if there was a character, I think, in Scream that's the least Scream is for the gays, it's Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy seems very for the straights. I also did the thing where I was looking at the social media for all the actors and came across Jamie Kennedy's social media presence and was like, nah, never mind.
Yeah, he's like...
My instinct was right on this one.
Yeah, he's not... Something's not right.
Anti-abortion,
all of it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's gross.
Jamie Kennedy is? Really?
Yes.
Yeah. It's very disappointing.
I guess he was in a movie with Tommy Lauren. Is that her name? That old...
Ew!
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that. Yuck.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of flopped.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, like, I've been talking about the latest Scream with, like, okay, so let me preface it with a couple weeks ago or something, a friend of mine on the internet, who is a guy, a very straight guy, was just like, I think the Dewey Gale ship is one of the sweetest things I've ever seen in a movie, and put it up as his, like, Facebook status. And I was like, what? Okay. And so I was just like, oh, I hope this, so I said, like, I hope this post wasn't sarcasm. He's like, no, he's like, it's beautiful. And I was just like, oh, yes, totally. And so I've been talking to him and, like, some of his friends who comment on his posts too. And someone was just like, I couldn't deal with the whole, like, Billy came back. And I was just like, you mean, like, Billy came back without Stu? He's like, no, the whole concept, like, Billy came back. It's just,
he wasn't,
like, way
back,
too, it's,
though.
Too much. And I was like, yes, it is. Too much.
I liked
it. But it was a new direction.
I thought it was stupid, and that's why I liked it. Like, I was like, oh.
Yeah, if they were going to bring an actor back like that, that's the only way I would have accepted it. But, yeah.
It was so silly, him standing, like, there in his little CG, or his DH CGI. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, there's no way. And no, he was there.
It was so funny because, like, it was just so funny because it was like Skeet Ulrich came back to do this.
Mm-hmm. What else is he doing?
Maybe Beat
on Riverdale
in the next one. Maybe it should. Oh, yeah. Maybe in the next movie we'll just have CGI Dewey standing over Gale's shoulder.
I won't count it out. Don't count it out.
Yeah.
Because it's coming.
Just CGI it, though.
That's true. Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Like how he does now.
Yeah, it's just Dewey following Gale around.
That would be
the whole movie.
With a magnifying glass.
Yeah. That was funny. Oh my goodness.
You wrote that.
Yes, I was going to say, I loved that fic you wrote with her being in the trailer and seeing him and stuff. Oh, that was so funny and cute. I loved it.
I think it would be hilarious to, like, he goes back to do investigative journalism and he's just, like, there and he's just like,
hey.
Co-workers are boneheads.
That's one of those things where I was just like, this isn't really going to make any sense, but I'm going to treat it seriously because I just want to fix it.
No, it made so much sense.
It's one way to fix it.
Yeah.
So he is her perpetual ghost now.
Beautiful. I'm not mad I would love that.
And they bang.
I'm not mad at it.
And they bang, she says.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, look, I'm not mad at it. It's probably because they bang, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't doubt that, like, if Courtney even does come back for the next one, if they make a next one, which I'm guessing they probably will, I wouldn't doubt that, like, at the end, like, she's just standing there and he's, like, you know, smiling at her or something. Like, that would be cute. Like, and that would be cute.
Yeah, if I mean, assuming there is a next one, which, yeah, pretty sure there will be, and they do get Courtney back, I just really hope they find a way to shoehorn him in there somehow.
Me too.
I just think it would just be really funny if she just, like, taken to, like, muttering to him under her breath, knowing that he's not there, but then he's so
That would be so funny.
Like, as a ghost, he's just like, that doesn't make any sense. And then just, like, fades back out.
Shut up. He's like, shut up, Dewey.
Yeah. The other thing one of my friends is, like, slightly convinced that's going to happen is that it may be instead of having Dewey and Gale there, they just cast Coco as a character.
I would hope. If she wants to do it, that would be the best thing ever.
Like, I mean, she's the right age for it. Presumably she's interested in acting because, like, they both said that.
Singing mostly, I thought, for her. But
she is more of a singer, but...
But she's also, like, she could do it because she's, like, best friends with, like, the Apatow girls and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I would... that would be so great.
I don't necessarily
great.
Know if I'm going to hold my breath for the next movie for that, but...
Sometime. Sometime. It has to happen.
They have cast... As my friend says, they have cast enough nepotism babies in this movie.
Yeah, like...
That,
She would make the most sense. She'd make the most sense to cast.
Yeah.
Cannot I mean, be. I like I said, I wouldn't be mad at it. I'm pretty straightforward, except for the fact that, you know, they just killed my ship, and I'm like, put him back as a ghost.
I know.
Fix it. Fix it somehow.
It was, I don't know if you guys saw it, but I actually had a, camera album in my phone of all the times of me crying since I found out in the new movie that they were divorced. Like, my friend had told me, like, maybe, like, a year and a half ago he found out that in the script they were divorced, because, like, no one knew at the time if they were going to be divorced or not. And when I found out, I was like, no, it was so awful. I was like, I knew it was going to happen because, like, obviously they were going to keep them together, but, like, I was so upset, and I had this whole album in my phone and just, like, pictures of me just, like, shedding, like, one single tear, like, so sad.
I mean, they could have, like, the thing is, though, they could have kept them together. Like, yeah, they really could have. But it takes out some of the, like, emotional impact of what they did do. Like, there's, like, nothing that really said they had to be divorced, right?
Yeah,
like, or
yeah.
not together or separated or whatever. It's just, it was better for emotional punch. And that's why a lot of writers, and I do call it lazy writing, because a lot of writers like to split up couples just to have that emotional tension and whatever. Because
I mean, that's all Glee ever did.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, the thing was, it that always bothered me, like, about, like, The Force Awakens is not only did they kill Han Solo, which was all right, but they had to make them split up and like really not give them any screen time before they did it, and it was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, you mess with the narrative of what happened to them after, you know, the last 20 years. So that's what I personally hate. It's like, you get the legacy cast coming in, and then you have to mess them up so badly that, like, it's just kind of painful to see them.
Yeah.
I actually, I watched the Friends reunion, which I actually watched it before I did, like, a full rewatch of Friends, so I didn't remember half the shit they were talking about. But I did like the reason they said they weren't going to do a reboot is because, like, they ended the characters in a good place, and they would have to undo that to reboot the series.
Yeah, because, you know, people are like, oh, I just want to see what they're up to, but for a whole series or for a movie, like,
yeah,
audiences would rather see, you know, it pulls at like regular audiences, and I'm not a regular audience. And
I was going to say, I would watch 90 minutes of TV. Yeah, exactly. I would watch 90 minutes of them like cooking dinner together.
Right.
Like give me a domestic Dewey and Gale night.
Right.
But see, that's the thing. It's like regular audiences that don't have, you know,
yeah,
their hearts in their eyes about it are like, yeah, you know, break them up, get them back together, have that weird tension, like totally do it. Like, it's great. But then there's people, you know, presumably like us, who are just like, they don't have to be divorced, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
you
I just
make that phone call that Ghostface is back and they could be in the same room. You know?
Yeah. I was on, you know, Twitter yet again, and everyone was all happy because the writers confirmed that Sydney was actually married to Mark Kincaid. And when she said, oh, you know, my husband Mark or whatever, mm-hmm. in the movie. Mm-hmm. And everyone was all happy, like, oh, she's married to Mark. And then, like, they also confirmed that Kirby was back and, like, she had lived and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm glad you guys are all happy because my ship is dead and now my fucking favorite character is going to be heartbroken for the rest of her life. So congrats to you guys because I can't relate.
Yeah, like, I'm happy that Sydney was able to have any kind
of
relationship after all the trauma she's been through. But I wanted that for Gale and Dewey too.
Right,
that as well.
Right, like, no shade. I love Sydney. Like, she deserves all the happiness in the world.
I'm sad.
But I was just so sad. I was like, well, yeah, now, like I said, she's going to be unhappy for the rest of her life. So let's just cry about it, I guess.
There's like, that's the hard, like, shitty truth of it that I keep absolutely running from in my mind is like, these characters just don't get a happy ending.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Book closed.
And that's the thing that, you know, kind of, it's bothered me as a like trope since 2015 with The Force Awakens, where I was just like, for the people who really care about particular characters in a ship, that's kind of been one of the big selling points of your movies. When you do this bullshit,
it
doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
It makes emotional impact, but it is the easy emotional impact to
make.
It's much easier to make someone hurt than to find a satisfying, smart way to make them feel good.
Yeah,
and I think that it's just like, I think it is lazy because it's the easiest way to get a response as opposed to actually working how to figure out how to make it work. And I think that they fell back into the kind of tried and true from the original trilogy because it worked in the first three, where it's like you break them up and you get them back together. So it felt familiar, but then the twist on it was this time he doesn't survive. And I'm just like, y'all suck. Yeah. Why exactly does that have to be that way? But then it's like, would it have been worse if they were together this whole time and happy and then he gets gutted?
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
It would have been better. I think it just would have, in a way, hurt less.
Like, it would have
felt better for me personally.
Yeah. Right. At least they had this time together.
Right. Yeah. The whole, like, him leaving and them not being together for however many years it was, I don't know. And then just coming back and having, like, one conversation. He didn't even tell her, like, I mean, he wanted to tell her he still loved her, but, like, he didn't get to. I mean, it really hurts. Yeah. It struck a nerve for sure. Literally.
Especially like reading the original version of the script and seeing how hard they really wanted to drive home that he is a miserable alcoholic.
Yes.
And like, not only did he lose his wife, but he is a sad, sad person.
Yeah, like what happened?
Like they really tried to tone it down and David was upset that they were making him like such an intense alcoholic. So a lot of the tone down with David.
And I agree with what David said, because David was like, I never saw Dewey as like a drinker. And it was like, me neither. Like, I saw Dewey as the type of guy that would like go out with Gale to bars and like carry her home when she was sloshed. Like, I never saw like him as like, I'm about to hit the bottle and like put like some whiskey in my coffee. Like, I never like he doesn't seem like that type of guy.
Well, I think he can be both of those, right?
Yeah.
I think that there probably was a time where he was, like, not an addict.
Right.
But, like, I think for whatever happened that caused him to, like, flee his life.
Yeah.
You know.
Something.
I think that it made sense that he would have kind of turned to drinking, but in the original script, it's like, dang, you just made
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, way more apparent, yeah. Doesn't Gail even say, I read it, like, quickly, but doesn't she say to him, like, during that scene, like, are you drunk or something like that? Or, like, you smell like alcohol
she
or something?
She does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the whole scene with Judy where, like, I'm guessing that it's supposed to be obvious that he, like, drove to the police station drunk or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she asked him, like, how did he even get here? And, like, it's not a real question.
That would have been just pain to watch yeah. on screen.
Like, I'm I know
David they shot it, though. So we'll see it, I guess whenever.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say I want to see it, but it's gonna hurt.
Well, David acted the shit out of this, right?
Like, yeah, he's really, good.
So did Courtney, honestly. Like when she's screaming after they bring out his body.
Oh, I cried so hard.
I think that's actually when yeah. I was. My friend and I both were sitting in the front seat, and both of us started sniffling.
My roommate was bawling in the whole death scene. I looked over at her and I was like, are you okay?
My sister
she was
who's like
Dewey.
That was me for real. Like I was crying so hard. And my sister who's like the most unimpressed person ever, like she doesn't watch movies or anything. I would look over because she sat right next to me and her jaw was like dropped the whole time. I was like, I know. Like you weren't expecting that, huh?
Yeah, I didn't cry in the theater. I did cry that night when I got home and I was thinking about it, but I didn't cry, like, actually in the movie theater. I think I was very, like, numb. Like, what the fuck just happened? Like, okay, now he's gonna get back up.
I know.
Okay, why is she crying in a body bag?
I think I came home and I was like, nope, I'm gonna end up writing fic.
Yeah. Oh, I wrote fic that night.
I'm so happy you guys did.
I
haven't
even read that one because I didn't, like, proof it or anything. I was just, like, immediately need to, like, control Z this in my brain.
Oh, I'm a narcissist, and I think I've read both yours and mine probably, like every night.
I've been reading your new one, the, like, multi-chapter one.
So good.
Repeatedly.
They're both so good.
That is my self-soothing.
I've got a lot to go before the next chapter, because I posted last night early. I was like, no, they'll read it. It's fine. It's good.
It's yeah, and just as soon as like we finish recording, I'm going to be writing because I'm trying to do a chapter a day because I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, it's no, like, I find it very cathartic and I'm yeah. very happy and it's just going to stick yeah. in my brain as the real thing. I mean, like you're talking yeah. to a person who hated a movie so much that like me and my best friend, we rewrote like Captain America Civil War. We rewrote the whole thing.
Oh my goodness.
That's amazing. That's dedication.
That's
like we
really
put over
funny.
50,000 words down on it. It kept us busy for like a good 8 months.
That's so cool.
So
yeah, that's pretty good.
It was it's actually a really good story, if I do say so myself. It was the first time I used like outlines and like direction and like different points of view. Like it was a cool experience, like really, and new for me, which is pretty rare in this whole I'm so old and a fan. Like, that was a new experience for me, was writing a long fic that actually had direction, because I'm pretty much a scene writer, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. my brain does, like, 1,500-word scenes, and then I'm like, peace them out! So.
That's definitely usually my style, but if I'm really feeling the emotion of something, I will just keep it going in a like rambling way forever.
Yeah.
I'm writing along with the movie, which is not what I started out trying to do, but it's apparently what I'm doing now, is really nice structure, though. I don't have to worry about what happens next.
Yeah.
Just how I'm going to shove Gail into it.
Oh, I sort of did a, not rewrite, but a, like a companion / rewrite for parts of Endgame, Avengers Endgame too. It was kind of nice to have the narrative structure of the movie. So
yeah.
I didn't have to wonder about what came next because I knew what was going to come next, just from a different point of view. So like, I enjoyed doing that, but this one I'm kind of like, since I took it from the point of where he died and made him not dead, it's all like, well, what's my brain gonna do today?
Oh, well, I have thoroughly enjoyed what your brain has done so far.
Yeah, same.
It's a surprise to me each time, so I'm glad.
Yeah.
I probably will end up writing more. Like, I'm supposed to be reading books for my book blog, but because that's what I do as a hobbyist on the side. But that's not happening right now. It's going to be on temporary hiatus until I work this out of my system.
Yeah. I have other fandom obligations that I'm supposed to be working on, but none of them are getting any word count done. It's just all Dewey and Gale right now.
Well, I'm glad
Before we go, I was just wondering, what do you guys normally watch besides, you know, Scream? Like, what fandoms are you also in? What do you also do? I'm just curious.
So I have, I was in Glee fandom for a long time while the fandom was active, which is how, like, the podcast This Is an Offshoot Of, like, started. We all are embittered, critical former fans that like to talk about shit that happened in the fandom as we rewatch the show. And then I follow YouTubers, Dan and Phil are their names, and I'm pretty heavily involved in that fandom, so RPF is mostly what I do lately. Cool. Which is why, like, don't be super shocked if some Courtney David fic slips in there at some point.
I've never read it, but I'm never gonna say no either.
I've never read it either, and I've definitely never written it, but, like, the tingly urge feelings are there. But yeah, cool. I've been writing Succession fic lately. That's what I was doing before I, like, fell super into Scream. Yes. I've been writing Jerry and Robin, which is another gayest straight ship ever.
Love them.
You don't get much more queer than those two characters and their dynamic.
Yeah, they
are
great.
And that's the one that Karen Culkin, one of them, Karen Culkin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Karen Culkin and Jay Smith Cameron. It's age gap, mommy domming.
It's like, awesome.
Sex aversion, like, a whole lot of strange tropes that if you'd asked me 6 months ago if I'd be writing, I'd have been like, what are you smoking? Now I'm like, okay, give me.
Listen, whatever makes people read or write, I think is legit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I don't gotta read it if I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where I'm just like, if it doesn't hurt people and I don't have to see it if I don't want to, you do you.
Yep.
That's basically those are my rules. That's it.
What else are you into, Sophia?
I love horror movies. So any horror movie that, you know, comes, I follow, like, Bloody Disgusting and Fangoria and all that stuff. So I've watched, you know, pretty much all of the horror movies I can get my hands on. I actually just watched Bates Motel, which is a great show. And,
oh, I love that.
Yeah, and I was obsessed for months. Love Vera Farmiga. She's, you know, I love her. I saw The Conjuring 3, the new one, and I loved it. And kind of just, like, got into her real, you know, quick. I love the first two, but I don't know, something about her and the new one kind of just, like, you know, got me into it. So I watched Bates Motel and I was obsessed.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good. And, you know, what else? I do watch Succession. I just, I watched it while the third season was going on. That was really good. I love it. I love anything that's, like, it's, like, kind of corny to say, but, like, bad people core, like, you know, The Sopranos or, like, that or, like, anything like that. Loved it. I made my friend watch it with me, and we both were, like, invested, and they're so good. And that's, you know, I'm just a big horror freak. Like, I just want to watch all the movies I can, all the horror media I can. So that's pretty much it.
Do you watch Yellow Jackets?
I don't, but I've been seeing a lot of people talking about it, and I need to get on it because I know I would love it.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it for sure.
Mindy from the new one's in it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I did want to briefly talk about the queer character / characters in the new one.
Yeah.
Before we sign off.
Yeah.
What are your stances on the Amber Terra? Like, canon, not canon?
Canon.
I think that they should have gone with it. After reading the first draft of the script where it was, I think it would have made more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just going to go ahead and treat it like they were a couple. They did take out most of the explicit, like, confirmations. Oh, yeah.
When I watched it, though, I thought they were.
I thought they were, too. Yeah. Like, when I left, like, the first thing I did was, like, well, no. First thing I did was mourn uncontrollably and write to the Gale thing. But after I was finished with that, I started looking to see whether, like, they were actually supposed to be a couple in the movie or not.
Yeah. It was definitely...
I don't like the idea that they changed Amber and Tara and then made Mindy queer. I'm just like, no. It makes the most sense that there would not be one queer teenager in a group, that there would be multiple of them because, you know.
Yeah, that's how queerness works. But
yeah.
But also the actress for Mindy, like, she is queer.
Yes. I love that.
And so, I mean, look, I thought she's a fantastic actress. Like, you could really see a lot more depth of what she can do in Yellow Jackets, and it's fantastic, but she's like a fabulous actress, and I think that, like, letting her be, like, a open out, like, queer woman in a horror movie and not kill her is, like, great.
Cool. I definitely I definitely loved her. I definitely could, like, see myself a lot in her. I don't know if she's actually mixed race, but she was mixed race in Scream, and so am I, and I'm, like, a huge horror movie fan, and, you know, I'm, you know, queer as well and all that stuff. So I was like, I was loving her. I'll be really excited to watch Yellow Jackets because it'll be fun, because I really do like her.
She's definitely queer in Yellow Jackets.
And that's good.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
She's also, I mean, she's a queer actress, and I don't know. I think that she's really great. But I also think what I was gonna say is she's mixed in Yellow Jackets too. So I'm fairly certain she's also.
Okay. Cool. That's nice. Cool. Yeah. No,
I'm watching Yellow Jackets. I'm watching it, like, now, right? Like, I haven't finished the season yet, so I'm watching it now, and it actually worked really well with Scream being on it too, because it kept the atmosphere right.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I'll definitely have to get into that.
I didn't realize it was a horror type thing until recently, because I saw people talk about it, but I do love watching horror and will usually give any type of horror series a shot.
It's kind of like a suspense horror supernatural, like, it's a mishmash of things, and I have to tell you, like, I wasn't sure I was going to like it because I'm a chicken, and I wasn't really sure what I was going to get. So I've really enjoyed it because I really like cerebral horror, and I really like, you know, like, whodunit type of horrors, and like, I guess I like slasher films, really.
Yeah.
And this kind of has a lot of that, like, uneasy feeling, like, you know, something bad is happening, but they haven't gotten there yet. And they do this really great thing where, you know, some really bad shit goes down, but you don't know how to get to that point. So I really enjoy it. And I think that the addition of just, like, there's a lot of queerness in Yellow Jackets. And I think that the addition of it into the Scream franchise, like, openly, through Mindy was great. I think they should have done it through Amber and Tara too, because it would be kind of like apologizing in some ways for not letting it be more acknowledged about Billy and Stu.
Yeah.
Not that it needed to be acknowledged because it was so obvious, but, like,
right.
Yeah. I've been heatedly conversing on the Reddit a lot, the Scream Reddit.
Oh, gosh.
I frequent that, which was a fun call out during the actual movie itself.
Yeah.
I did kind of love that line because I was like, oh, I feel seen. But yeah, I did have someone message me to talk about the fact that, like, it wouldn't have worked to have had Amber and Tara openly together, because they would have killed one of them and people would have gotten upset about the kill your deads trope. And I really wanted to feel like, no, if you have three gay people in a movie, you can kill one of them. If you have one gay person in a movie, don't kill them.
But, like, they did it anyway.
Well, yeah.
Like, so why does it matter? They did it anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, not to be, like, a buzzkill to that person, but, like...
Oh, I completely was. Because, yeah, I mean, dead.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, she was torched. Bye-bye. So, you know, not mad at it.
No, that was awesome, that scene.
Yeah. Oh, I love it that it was Gail. I love that it was Gail.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I didn't even realize that she did, like, the... Amber did, like, the psycho, like shower scene type like thing. Like, I didn't even realize she did that. I was dying. That's my recent rewatch. I saw it for the first time and I said, I didn't even realize she did that. I was dying. I was like, why? It was so funny. But yeah, no, I loved her little death
she
scene.
She did like the heavy lifting, right?
She did. Oh yeah, she did it all.
She had to have, yeah.
Yeah, she did it all. That fucking
Richie was just there to like be an accessory basically.
Yeah.
To like chauffeur people around to the right spots.
I won't lie though, I did not expect it to be him. I was absolutely baffled. I was absolutely like was so shocked when he stabbed her to the point where I jaw dropped. It was so crazy. I did not expect it at all. I don't know why I didn't expect it, but I did not see it coming.
You knew that I saw it the whole time, right? Like I told you that.
Yeah.
Just like, it's
yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. You told me that. Yeah.
I didn't expect
that would be good guy Dewey with Dennis Quaid's fucking smile. It's
I totally know.
Not. Yeah. I did think later on, like, why didn't I just listen to Dewey?
I know, and he was right.
Straight up call out. He was so right,
and I couldn't believe it. I was like, "Holy shit!" Because I expected it to be her, but I didn't expect it to be him, and I was like. Just baffled. And that was like the first time in a Scream movie that I was like actually shocked.
I thought it was going to be Richie because that's too good to be true. And I think I just didn't pay enough attention to the kids because there were like too many of them. And to be perfectly honest, I was having a hard time keeping track of Liv versus Amber. But
yeah.
I was really distracted by, you know, Dewey and Gail and like Sydney. So it was really hard for me to be like, well, which one of them died? Which one of the like long haired other ladies died? And like, I didn't even realize Liv died. I was like, whatever happened to her?
She shot her in the face.
Yeah. When we came out of the theater, my roommate was like, what happened to the girl with the dyed hair?
I mean, the Liv Tyler from Empire Records tribute.
Yeah.
Like 100%, like watch her outfits. That's what I noticed.
The second time I saw it, I was like, oh my God, how did I forget that?
Yeah, she shot her right in the face. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, she's the one that she shoots when she comes in. They're like, well, who's the other killer? And she's like, it me, bitch. And I was like, whoa.
Yep.
She was not waiting around for the dramatic reveal. She was like, all right, let's get on with this.
No, she was like a very Stu Mocker-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and it was his house.
Like, who likes to kill it, me?
Yep, I like that. That's when I knew it was her, was whenever they went to the party and it was his house. I was like, oh, and it was Stu Mocker's house, but it was her house. I was like, oh, it's like, who else? Yeah, like, of course it's her. Who else would it be?
I thought she was going to make out with Mindy for a hot second in there, though.
I wish she would have.
Oh, that would have been nice.
But by the refrigerator when they went to go get the beer?
Yeah.
Like, I love that scene. Like,
fun tension in that scene.
Yes, I love that.
My best friend, the one that writes with me, when they went down to the basement together and they got real in each other's face, she was like, oh, these are the gay ones? And I was just like, I was like, I don't know. Yes. But then I was like, kind of, but I don't know. That Amber girl's a bitch. She shot Dewey, or she stabbed Dewey.
Yeah.
Gutted him, pretty much. I like
with two knives.
Yeah, she. Mm. And that's why, yeah, like, I love how, like, the Ghostface killers, like, put on the, like, cloak and the mask, and they become, like, 40 times as more powerful as they normally would be. And, like, 6 feet taller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is like, understanding that he's, like, a disabled drunk, right?
Right.
So, I still think he might have been pretty sober by the time they were in that hospital.
For sure.
Adrenaline.
I hope so.
And he had a whole... He fumbled the bag, though, I'm not gonna lie. Whenever he looked down at his phone, like, come on, bro, you could have had your phone on silent. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Well, no one probably called him.
Yeah, you're right.
No one calls him.
You're right.
So it probably did startle him, because the only person that... And, like, this is what makes it sad, too, right? Like, the only person that could possibly be calling him is
her.
You know, Gail or Sydney.
Hmm. Right.
And it's probably Gail, because he just saw her. And that's who he wants to hear from.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to fucking distract him.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe it.
Like, maybe you shouldn't have left her.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know. Don't get me started.
He, like, glances at Gail before he...
He smiles. He smiles. He looks at the picture and he, like, gives a little smile and then he, like, goes down. Aww.
I'm not emotionally prepared to see it again tomorrow, but I'm going to anyway.
I wish I could. I'm going to work. Well, maybe.
Tomorrow's our Chico night. I might go too, to be honest. I did love it, though. All things considered, I did love that movie, for sure.
I did too, yeah.
You know that I think we've just talked for an hour and a half about this.
I know, right? Like, it's so cute.
Yeah.
I was, like, worried. I was like, how are we going to get through, like, an hour?
Oh, yeah.
I could talk for years.
One thing I have discovered about doing podcasts like this is that you can be shocked at how much you have to say when you're talking to other people who feel exactly the same way.
That's okay. All right. I'm into that.
Yeah, it's very fun. But before we go, I will give you both a chance to plug whatever you want to plug. Viral tweets, Instagram accounts, or whatever, you know.
I don't know. I would say just follow me on my Twitter. It's Scream Queen with a KW and not a Q. That's all.
I read and review romance books. Do love a good horror romance. Would love to find more. Mm-hmm. I'm at Instagram, and my handle is The Thirst Amendment.
Both very solid accounts. Highly recommend following. I don't have anything to plug, because if anyone is listening to this, they're already listening to my thing. Unless you want to go read my Dewey Gale fic. Because right now it really is an audience of like 4 people.
Oh, totally. You could come and read mine as well.
Yes.
But most of my internet presence is that book blog. And if anyone has horror romance, I sometimes like paranormal romance or like creature romance. So like, you know, whatever goes, whatever flies over there, as long as there's bangies.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you both for joining me and flailing about these characters and actors and movies with me.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, absolutely.
And thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Glee on the Rocks, a podcast by OTR Productions. A huge thank you to our sound editor, Adriana, and our podcasts who secretly run the show. For more episodes, download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Podchaser, and more at Glee on the Rocks. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to our Patreon account at patreon.com/GleeOnTheRocks. Subscribers get ad-free episodes, exclusive mini-episodes deep diving into the fandom, salty opinions, and so much more. So until next time, that's what you miss on Glee.